shiur is Daf Kuf Nun Dalid, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amun Beis at the fifth wide line. Amar Rav Bachama, Hamacham Ach Behem Teb Shabbos. Somebody who leads an animal that has a load on it on Shabbos, b'shagig, if he did a b'shagig, he's chayv chatis, b'mezid, chayv skila, if he does b'mezid, he's chayv skila, like by all malachos of Shabbos. My tama, what's the reason? I'm a rava, I'm a krav, because it says in the pasuk, lo sasa ka malacha, atovem techa. You and your animal are not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos. Mahu, just like by him, if a person does malach on Shabbos, b'shagi chayv chatis. If he does b'shagi, he's chayv chatis, b'mezid, he's chayv skila. Ah, behem toinami, also by his animal, b'shagi chayv chatis, b'mezid, chayv skila, the chayv skila. Asked Ramban, if so, that mechamer is like all other malachas of Shabbos, why is it not listed between the lametes malachas? So, Ramban answers that this mechamer is not a new type of malacha. All it is that what any malacha that applies to a person also applies to an animal. So it's not introducing a new type of malacha, and therefore it's not listed as one of the malachas. Ask Rava, Amar Rava Chei Chuvas B'Davar. The two issues with this psak that we just learned. Chada Diksev, it says in the pasuk, Tar Achas Yilachem. One law should be for you, loisa b'shkaga, whoever does aver b'shagig, v'nefesh ha-shatasa b'yad rama. This pasuk is talking about somebody who's oved avodah zarah. But the Torah says, Torah achas yulachem, huk shekola Torah kula avodah zarah. All the halachas of the Torah are compared to avodah zarah. Avodah zarah becomes the model for the chiv. Ma avodah zarah. Now what happens by Avodah Zarah? When is somebody Oyved Aver of Avodah Zarah? He actually serves an Avodah Zarah. Hachnami Ad Oved Ma'is Begufe. So how could there be a Chiyah for Mechamer? Mechamer, he didn't do it Begufe, he only spoke with his mouth. Furthermore, continues the Gemara, Voy Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin. HaMechal Se Shabbos, Samech Mechal Shabbos, B'dov HaShechayov Al Shigash Shechatis V'azdoin HaSkeloi. By something that you chayiv for shagig, you have been chatos, and by mezid, with eidim, with asra, there's a chayiv skila. So, what is the Mishnah teaching us? That in most cases, that's going to be the din. Mechlal de ikamidi. What is the Mishnah implying? That there is a time that a person is being mechal Shabbos, the ain't chayiv mashgosei chatos, that there will not be a chayiv. And there will not be a chiv skila when he did a mezid. Or mind you, what is that case? The Mishnah is teaching us there is such a case. What is that case? Lav de mechamer, isn't it mechaber? That will be the exception to the rule. Says the Gemara loy. It's either tchumim v'libes b'kiva, either it's tchumim according to b'kiva who hold that the going past 2,000 amma on Shabbos is an issa deraisa, but even Rabbi Kiva agrees that there is no chiyuv chatas chiyuv skila, v'avara liba de Rabbi Yossi, or the malacha of making a fire according to Rabbi Yossi, as we learned earlier on Daf Ayin, the Torah singled out the lav of making a fire on Shabbos. It says lo sevaru eish b'chol mashveisechem b'yoyim haShabbos. So the Gemara discussed why did the Torah have to single out that lav. Rabbi Yossi taught us lalav yotzes, that there is no chiv kares by havara. That's what this Mishnah will be teaching us, that havara is the exception to the rule. Let's review. We said that time, Or Sameach, that the Or Sameach says that even though Rabbi Yossi says that havara is different than all other malachas, that's only as far as the chiv kares is concerned. But the Rav Sameach says that Rabbi Yossi will agree that there is a chiyuv skila, because what Rabbi Yossi meant to say is that the Torah says ki kala oisa malacha, whoever does malacha v'nichrasa, havara is an exception to that rule, but the general rule of skila will also apply to havara, according to Rav Sameach in Rabbi Yossi. Now there's a question. The Gemara said that the first half of the Gemara said is we're going according to Bekiva, who holds that Chumim is the Raisa. Ask the Ramban, that according to Tchumim, according to Bekiva, is the Raisa 2,000 Amma. But there's another Tchum. That's the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, going 12 mil. And as we've mentioned, most Rishonim hold that everybody agrees that that Tchum is the Raisa. Ask the Ramban, why did the Gemara have to say that the Mishnah is going specifically according to Rabbi Kiva, that's talking about Tchumim of 2,000 Amma, say that's talking about Tchumim of Yud Beis Mil, and the Mishnah could work according to everybody, even those that disagree with Rabbi Kiva. Now there's another question. Let's leave that question on the side. There's another question to be asked. The Gemara says that why... The Gemara asked another question, that Avodah Zarah is not similar to... A chamer is not similar to Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Avodah Zarah is a maisa, and a chamer is not a maisa, it's only talking. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. Why doesn't the Gemara answer that question? So the Mishnayim say, because there are days that hold the mechamer is that a kimas fos of have a maisa, talking with your mouth is considered a maisa, and therefore mechamer is not a problem that it's not a maisa. According to that, that question that it's not similar to Avodah Zarah is not a difficulty, because mechamer will also be a maisa. Says the Chasam Sofer, who's the man the omer that holds a kimas fos of have a maisa? Rabbi Kiva. So anyway, says the Chasam Sofer, we're going to have to say a teretz according to Rabbi Kiva. Once we have to say a teretz according to Rabbi Kiva anyway, we might as well say this teretz that the Mishnah there is also going according to Rabbi Kiva. But now the question is, according to the Man D'Omer, that a kima svasov have a maisa, that talking is a maisa, how come the Gemara said it, that it's not? So Mefarshim explained that there are two types of talking as far as halacha. Even the man, the omer that holds a kima svasav have a maisa, that speaking is considered a maisa, that's only when your maisa is a completes an act. For example, where do we say kima svasav have a maisa? By megadif. If somebody chas v'sholem cursed the name of Hashem. So that in itself is a complete aveira, and we're saying according to that man, the omer, that it's a maisa. However, in our Gemara, when the person leads the animal by talking, that isn't the end of the action. He only causes that the animal should now do the melacha. There, even if you hold a kima svasav have a maisa, that won't be enough of a maisa because it's the beginning of an action. It's not in itself a complete action. And the Mefarshim, the Avni Nezer, uses this concept a step further. He says, what would be the halacha if somebody blew out a fire on Shabbos? Would it be chayiv for kibbutz? So he says, yes, he would. Ask the Avni Nezer, if we just said that something that's just done with your mouth is not considered a maisa, why should you be chayiv for kibbutz? But according to this explanation, it works very well. When is something done by the mouth itself not considered a maisa? That's when it's in itself a maisa by itself. That when it's not a maisa by itself, like an algamar, you're just making the animal walk with your mouth. But when it's a self-contained complete maisa, for example, when you extinguish a fire by blowing it out, there, something done by your mouth will be considered a maisa. Continues the Gemara. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. Rav Zvid learned like this. Omer, Ramin Bachama, Hamachama Achbehem B'Shabbos, somebody who leads an animal that's holding a load on Shabbos, B'Shogig, Ene Chayiv Chattis. B'Shogig, he's talking not Chayiv Chattis. B'Mezit, he's Chayiv Skil. Mosav Rava asks Rava from the Mishnah we just quoted in Masechta Sanhedrin, it says there, Machalas Shabbos, B'Dovish Shechayov, Al Shigosei Chattis, if somebody's Machal Shabbos, where B'Shogig, Chayiv Chattis, Chayov, Mal Zdoyne Skilot. So that B'Mezit, you Chayiv Skilot. So, what is the inference from that Mishnah? Ha'ein chayav mashigosei chattis, that if there is no chiv chattis b'shogig, ein chayav mashigosei skila, there won't be a chiv skila b'mezid. Because the Gemara is learning that the chiv chattis and the chiv skila travel together. So how could you separate, ask the Gemara to Rav Zvid, and say that there is no chiv chattis, but there is a chiv skila? Answer the Gemara, Mik Tani Ho Ein Chayovim. The Mishnah doesn't say if somebody's not Chayiv Chattis, you can't be chayiv skila. Hachi kamer. This is what the Mishnah means. Davish chayav mashi gosli chatas. Wherever there's a chayiv chatas b'shogig, certainly chayav nalzadon skila. There's a chayiv skila b'meizit. V'yesh davar. However, there are situations she'ein chayav mashi gosli chatas that you will not be chayiv b'shogig chatas, but still v'chayav nalzadon skila, you will be chayiv skila b'meizit. Meini, what will be such an example? Mechamer. Ravua Achva de Mara Mamrachel. So Mara goes off parenthetically for a moment. Ravua, the brother of Mara Barachel. The Amile Avu de Rabbi Mamrachel. And some say he was the father of Mara Barachel. So let's explain. Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel. She was taken into captivity by a goy whose name was Isser. And he had relations with her. She conceived when the father was still a goy, and had a child whose name was Mari. This Mari throughout Shas is generally called Mari Barachel. He's called by his mother's name, even though usually the Tanoim Amoraim were called by the father's name, since his father was not Jewish when he was conceived. Now the Gemara asks, Rav asks a question, that Mari Barachel was appointed as an officer. And the Pasuk says, Mikarev Achecho Tosim Al Melech, that Kol Mesimos, that whenever somebody is appointed to a position of authority in Klal Yisrael, he has to be a Meyuchas. He has to be a full-fledged Jew. So Rav asked, how can Mari Barachel been appointed to a position? So Rav answered, since his mother was Jewish, therefore it was enough. But asked the Gemara, if Rava was the father of Mari Barachel, so then he had two full-fledged Jewish parents. So why was Rav troubled how he was appointed to a position of authority? He was a regular full-fledged Jew. And says the Gemara, Lishna Basra, according to this version, that Rava was Mari Barachel's father, Kasha had the Rav, actually Rav Barachel. What's the problem that Rav had to find a heter for Mari Barachel to be given a position of authority? Omenayiv Parsed the Bavel, when he was appointed an officer in Bavel. Answers the Gemara, Dilma Trey Mari Barachel Hava. There were two Mari Barachels. One Mari Barachel, whose father was Rava, was a full-fledged Jew. There was no issue about his position. The other one, however, his father was Isser, who was a goy when he was conceived. That was the person the Rav had to paskin, was permitted to be an officer. So, have a Masal Hal Shmatz, Meshmed Rabbi Yochanan B'Tor. Learned this Gemara while we've been discussing about Mechamer in the name of Yochanan B'Tor. Om Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, Hamachamer Acha Behemtei B'Shabbos, somebody who leads his animal who's loaded with a package on Shabbos, Potter Miklum, his entirely Potter. B'Shagel Chayiv Chatas, he's not Chayiv Chatas. Why? Because as we learned before, the Hokshe Kol HaKadayr Kula Avodah Zarah, all mitzvahs are compared to Avodah Zarah, where you have to have a maisa, and this mechamer is not a maisa. But meizid namelam mechayiv, and there is no chiyuv meizid. The tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, hamechal shabbos b'davar shechayov al shtoyn shigos echatis, the son of mechal shabbos b'shog b'chatis, does doyne skila, and then meizid does a chiyuv skila. Her ein chayov al shigos echatis. He learned that they travel together, and if there is no chiyuv chatis b'shogik, as we just said, ein chayov al doyne skila. What about a lav? Why shouldn't he be chayiv a lav? Why shouldn't he get malchus? Namilay mechayiv. Says the Gemara, he won't get malchus either. The havle lav shenitan lasaras mises bezdin. So the way Rashi explains is as follows: the pasuk says loisasa kamalacha, a person should not do any malacha. Ata benchav avdechav amoskav sharchav chamarcha, you and your family and your animals. What is the din if somebody, a person, does a malacha on Shabbos b'mezit, as we've been saying from the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, he's chayiv misa. So this pasuk that is teaching us that an animal is not allowed to do malacha is also teaching us that a person is not allowed to do malacha. When the person does a malacha, there's a chayiv misa. Says the Gemara, there's a rule identified in Masechet Makis. To get an oynish, to get a punishment, you have to have a pasuk that tells you that you're not allowed to do that aveira. But if the pasuk teaches us about an aveira, that there's a chiv misa, that pasuk cannot also be used to teach us about an avera which there's a chi of malchus. If this pasuk that we just said of loisasukam alocha is teaching us about an avera which is a chi of misa, when the person does an avera, that same pasuk cannot be used to teach us that when an animal does malacha, there'll be a chi of malchus. Because we call lav shenitin l'ashar of misa bezdin, any pasuk that teaches us that there could be a chi of misa bezdin, ein loikin ala cannot be used as a pasuk to teach us that there's a chi of malchus. Says the Gemara, but this is an issue in Masechtas Makkos. Not everybody agrees that kol lav shenitin l'asharas mitzvah bezdin cannot be used for malchus. So maybe according to that man, the Omer, if you lead your animal on Shabbos, you should be chayiv malchus. So it says the Gemara, no. But feel a man, the Omer, loikin. Even according to man, the Omer says you can get malchus for such a lav. Lichta Rechmona, the Torah should have said, loisasakom malacha behemtecha. You and your animal should not do any malach on Shabbos. Atu behemtecha. What did it say, you and your animal, lomali? Teaches us who neid the mechayiv. He's only chayiv if he does malacha behemtel mechayiv, but there is no chayiv when his animal does malacha. Continues the Gemara. Higiel chatzah chatzayna. So as we learned in our Mishnah, somebody is walking Friday afternoon, realizes that Shabbos is coming. He's carrying something. So the Mishnah told us either give it to a guy. If you can't give it to a guy, put it on the donkey. When he gets to his courtyard, so if he has utensils that can normally be moved in Shabbos, he just takes them off. However, those utensils that are muksa, so he can't take them off himself, what he does is he undoes the ropes and that hold the package fastened to the saddle, and the sacks fall down on their own. Rav Huna said, "Hoist behemta tuna klis chuchas. If his animal was loaded with glass utensils, may v'kerem v'kastas, he should bring pillows and cushions, u'meniach tachta, put them under the animal, u'mata chavolim, open up the ropes, v'sak noiflim, and these sacks will fall on us." Ask the Gemara for Nantana, and then we just explained, we learned in the Mishnah, Noitelas HaKelim and Nitalim B'Shabbos. He could actually touch the Kelim. Why does he have to bring these sacks and not touch the Kelim directly? And it says, the Gemara, Ki Kam Rav Huna B'Karin in the Umna. Rav Huna was talking about the glass pipes that were used by bloodletters, the Lechazalei, which are Muksa. Why are they Muksa? So Rashi explains, the muksa machmas miyas, because they're dirty from the blood. As the Rishonim, only Rabbi Yehuda holds of muksa machmas miyas. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the muksa machmas miyas. So why is this considered muksa? So Rishonim answer, when does Rabbi Shimon not subscribe to muksa machmas miyas? That's by something that has a use. But, explained Rishonim, there is no use for kind of the umna, they can't be used to cover up a utensil. Since they're totally useless, even Reb Shimon will agree that they're muksa. Other Rishonim say that what is the muksa here? The muksa here is muksa machmas chsaron kis. Ask the Gemara, but there's another problem. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that if somebody has oil dripping out of his candelabra, he's not allowed to bring another bowl to let the oil drip into it. Why? Because mevata kelim echanoi, that oil that drips into the bowl is muksa, and now you won't be able to move that bowl. And we learned that you're not allowed to take a utensil which can be used and make it non-usable on Shabbos. So here too, when these muksa glass kalim fall on the pillows, now these pillows can't be moved. And says the Gemara, it's talking b'shilfi zitra. We're talking about small sacks of these kalim, so they can be easily rolled off the pillows and cushions without being handled directly, and that's why these pillows will not be no longer usable on Shabbos. So Rishonim ask, how could you say that you'll roll off the pipes from the pillow, but once they fell on the pillow, it's a bustle davar asr? And a bustle davar asr is muksa. So you can't anymore pick up the pillow to roll off the pipes. So most Rishonim answer that since my intention when the pipes fall on the pillow is to leave it only temporarily, that's not called a bustle. A bustle is only when it's going to be left like that for the entire Shabbos. Kvega gives a posh deitza. He says what you should do is you should let the cake, you should put on the pillow before you let the pipes fall on it something that's mutter. So now the pillow will be a bustle list of a heter. And as we learned many times, if something's a bustle list of a heter, it may be moved. Now there's a very fundamental question that Taisus asks here. Taisus asks that here in Al Gemara, Rashi explains that why is there an issue of why is Mevatel Kelim Mechana Asur on Shabbos? Because of Saiser. You're taking a Keli, which was usable. You're taking a pillow, which was usable. And now when the pipes are on them, it's not usable. So Saiser, it's like you're breaking it. It's not making it non-usable. Ask Taisus, then we quoted before that we had the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta with the bowl in which the oil falls into. There the Gemara said that the Isser, there where the Gemara said Bitl Klima Echanoi, Rashi says that what's the Isser? The Isser is Boina, because now that you can move this bowl, it becomes, so to speak, attached to where it is, and it's like Boina. So ask Taisus, what is Pshat? Is Bitl Kelim Echanoi Boina, or is it Soiser? So Pnei Yeshua explains that Rashi had to give different reasons for Isser or Bitl Kelim Echanoi in each respective cases, because it's a different situation in every case. Explains the Pnei Yeshua. A dish placed under the lamp is intended as a receptacle for various items. Therefore, having muksa oil drip into it, it's not viewed as destroying the vessel. It's not considered soiser, because that is the intended use of the container. Hence, in that case, Rashi has to say that what's the issue? This is boina. However, in Al Gemara, the issue is soiser. Pillows are not made to hold pipes on them. They're made to sleep on. If you go and you now designate your pillow for to be a place on which you're going to put your pipes, soiser! You broke the pillow from its purpose. So therefore, Rashi is very good. In the situation where it's the intended use, it's boina. In the case where it's the non-intended use, it's soiser. Meisvei asked the Gemara from the following braisa. The braisa says, "Hoisa behemta tuna tavel vashoshes, if his animal was loaded with sacks of produce that was the truma meisa weren't taken off, or glass bars, the loch is matas achavolim, open up the strings, vasaka noiflim, and the sacks fall onto the ground. Vavgish mishtabim, even though the glass bars will break by doing so." But according to Rav Huna, shouldn't he be allowed to bring pillows to let the glass fall on the pillows and to avoid this problem? Answers the Gemara, Hasan Bakosa. The Bryce is referring to glass bars, big slabs of glass, and he won't be able to roll them off the pillow. Dekanami Diktami. That's Pshat in the Braisa. The Tani, Dumi the Tevel. The Braisa talked about glass slabs and Tevel. Ma Dumi Tevel de Lechazalei, just as anti the purpose is produce, is something that's useless in Shabbos, of Hachanam de Lechazalei, it's a kind of glass that's totally useless. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean? Afa Pisha Mishtabrim. What is the point of the Braisa emphasizing that he's allowed, that the glass should, is allowed to fall, even though they may break? Answers the Gemara. That these glass slabs, even if they break, it's not that significant, because anyway they have to be chipped and molded before they're used. But I would think that they may not break nicely, and therefore Chazal will allow us to bring the pillows in order to avoid this breakage. Since the loss is not that significant, that's why Chazal did not waive this or Bitl Keli Machanoi, and in this case you're not allowed to bring pillows for the glass to fall on them. Tanya, Rav Shimon Yochi Oimer, Hoyse Be'emta Tuna Shlif Shal Tvua, if his animal was loaded with a sack of untied produce, meniach rosh lechta, he should position his head under one end of it, masakla tzad echer, and push it off the other side, vunayful alev. And like that, the sack will fall off by itself. Says the Gemara, the Braisa continues, chamar shel Gamliel haisatuna dvash, the donkey of Rav Gamliel had honey on it when Shabbos began. For loy rotzul lefarka matzah Shabbos, he did not want to unload the donkey until after matzah Shabbos. Lematzah Shabbos, a matzah Shabbos, mesa the donkey, because it was so worn out from schlepping the holding the honey all day Shabbos, mesa died. Ask the Gemara, for natna wheelant in our Mishnah, noital keil manitom, you could take things that are not muksa. Honey is not muksa. Answers the Gemara, kshehidvish. The talking is where the honey had soured, and therefore it was muksa. Ask the Gemara, hidvish lemaychazi, what can you do with spoiled honey? Why was Rav Gamliel moving spoiled honey? Answers the Gemara, lekit say the Gamli, it could be put on the back of a donkey whose back has abrasions on it. But, explain the Ritva, since doing such a thing on Shabbos is usur, you're not allowed to smear the honey on the donkey in Shabbos, that's why such sour honey is muksa. Asked Gemara, however, v'yate chavolim v'yiplusekim, he should have just loosened the ropes and allowed the sacks containing the honey to fall to the ground, like we learned in our Mishnah. And the Gemara, mitzri zika, this wouldn't work because the sacks would have split open and the honey would have spilled and been ruined. Ask the Gemara, v'yavi karm v'kastas v'yinechlatem, they should have been able to bring pillows and cushions and put them under the container. Answers the Gemara, mitnafi, the pillows and cushions would have become dirty from the spillage of the honey, become avatal kleil me'achane. In such a situation, we're not allowed to bring the pillow. Ask the Gemara, v'ikat tzar bal chayim, what about the problem of Tzar Bal Chaim, that the animal had to stand like that the whole Shabbos? And says the Gemara, Kesover Tzar Bal Chaim Drabonon. Here, he holds that Tzar Bal Chaim is only Issa Drabonon, and since it's only Issa Drabonon, we're not allowed to do something. But, however, we paskin that the halacha is that Tzar Bal Chaim is the Raisa. So certainly, you're not allowed to leave the honey, you're not allowed to leave it on the animal for Shabbos, because that would be an Issa D'Raisa, a bittel of Tzar Bal Chaim. Letting them fall on the floor, also we shouldn't do, because that will be a Hefsid. What you can do in such a case, the Rishonim say, is bring a pillow and let it fall on it. Even though there's a problem of bittel keli mechonoi, the Issa D'Raisa of Tzar Bal Chaim supersedes the Isser of Bittel Keli Mechanai. Now, the Rishonim asked the following question. We learned before that somebody's not allowed to take large sacks of blood lettuce pipes to fall on pillows and cushions. Why? Because there would be a problem of Bittel Keli Mechanai. The only reason we said it was mutter was because there were small pieces. But according to the Gemara here, that we're learning that Tzar Bal Chaim is more of an issue than Bittel Keli Mechanoi, it should be mutter even by big pipes. So the Ran answers that we have to say that the Gemara before was referring to pipes, that even if the animal would remain loaded with those pipes a whole Shabbos, there would be no Tzar Bal Chaim. But if they would be left like that the whole Shabbos and there would be a Tzar Bal Chaim, then the halacha would taka be that you're allowed to let the pipes off, even if it involves a bittel keli mechana. It's interesting. The Prima Gadim says that even if you hold that Tzar Bal Chaim is drabonon, on Shabbos, since it says in the Torah L'man Yenuach that you have to let your animal rest on Shabbos, Tzar Bal Chaim is the raisa. So the Mefarshim ask, according to the Prima Gadim, we're saying that there's a man that holds Tzar Bal Chaim on Shabbos is the Rabbanon. What's the Prima Gadim going to say? So they answer that even the Prima Gadim who holds that Tzar Bal Chaim on Shabbos is the Raisa, that's only on your own animal. But on someone else's animal, it would not be different on Shabbos than during the week. And here we're talking about someone else's animal. The Mefarshim also point out that even if you say that Tzar Bal Chaim is a drabonon, so how could we let you be over the rabbonim of Tzar Bal Chaim? So they say, since it was B'Shev Al Taisi, he wasn't actively being mitzar the animal. He was only letting it stand like that. So it's only B'Shev Al Taisa, and if it's an Issa Drabbonon, you're not considered having been over the Aveira. The Poskim point out that even if we hold that animals may be used for human purpose, and that's why we eat animal meat, and that's why we hold that you're allowed to use animals for testing, for medicine purposes, but that is only if there's a purpose. But to leave an animal standing a whole day holding the package which there's no constructive purpose for, certainly would be considered Tzar Bal Chaim, and as we said before, it would be an Issa D'Oraisa. Before we begin the next piece of Gemara, let's just review a halacha that we learned. The halacha is that Ein Mishtamshim B'Bal Chai. You're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos. You're not allowed to, and the reason, as Rabbi Kivega explains, is because Shem Yachtech Smoira. Chazal were concerned that you may come to rip off a branch to use as a whip, and therefore you're not allowed to be Mishtamish B'Bal Chai B'Shabbos. Under all circumstances, because Rabbi Kivega explains, like plug. Once Chazal said that you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos, it applies to all situations. Says the Gemara, Abaye Ashkechei L'Rabba, Abaye saw Rabba, the Kamashashash Leil Bro Agabe de Chamra. He was sliding his son down the back of a donkey on Shabbos. Amalei, so he asked him, Kamashtamash Mabar Bal Chayim. You're making use of a live animal, which we just explained is also in Shabbos. Amalei, so Rabba replied, Tzadim him. I'm only working with the sides of the animal, but Tzadim like Gozer Rabbonin. And the Gezer of Chazal that you're not allowed to use Bal Chayim and Shabbos don't apply to the side. Ask the Gemara Menot Temra, from where did Rabba come to this position? The Tzna. We learned in our Mishnah. Matech Avolim, he undoes the ropes, for sack and Neuflim, and the sacks fall down. My laugh isn't the situation of our Mishnah, but Chava Glalkli. It's talking about the saddlebags are tied. Now he has to lean on the donkey to remove them. How could he do that? It must be because the Havlet Stodim, it's only using the sides. It's Stodim like Gozbar Rabbonin. And like Rabbi just said, there is no Gzera on Stodim of an animal. Says the Gemara, from our Mishnah, there's no proof. Because Loi, Mishnah is talking about Becheva Glakli, that the bags are only held together by a clasp. The law, you have it stored them, so you don't have to lean on the animal at all. You just have to undo the clasp and the sacks fall down. Inami, it's talking about balachs with a clip. Again, well, you don't even have to lean on the animal to untie the bags. But stored them may be mutter. Esvei, and Abaye asks Rava from the following Mishnah. The halacha is that on sukkahs, you have to have a sukkah. A sukkah must have three walls, a minimum of three walls. Says the Mishnah, Shtayim b'yadei Adam, if two walls of the sukkah are man-made, Vachs b'ilan, and one is formed by a tree, Kshera, the sukkah is a kosher sukkah, however, Vein oilam b'yontif. You're not allowed to go onto it under yontif. So, the way Tosfos explains, Vein oilam b'yontif, Tosfos says two pshatim. One pshat, Tosfos says, is that you're not allowed to leave things on top of the schach, that the schach that's on top of the tree, which is being used as a wall, you can't take something off that schach. Or Tosfos says another pshat is that you can't, if this is the floor of the sukkah, you can't walk on this floor because you'll be walking on top of a tree. And just like Ein Mishtamshim Bal Chai, the halacha is Ein Mishtamshim B'Ilan. The Chroinim make a very interesting observation. The Tshuvas Onig Yontif asks the following shaila. A sukkah is hooked for a mitzvah. A sukkah is designated for a mitzvah. Ask the Onig Yontif, if it's raining on sukkah, there is no mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. Yet, some people still will eat in the sukkah when it's raining. Ask the Onig Yontif, how could you go and eat in the sukkah when it's raining? And there is no chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, then it's hooked for a mitzvah. So the Achronim point out from our Gemara, we see that there is no such an issue. Because our Mishnah says that the whole problem is that you're not allowed to use the sukkah because it's for an Elon. Otherwise, I would be allowed to put things on top of the schach. How could I put utensils on top of the schach? According to the Tosfos first pshat. It's hooks on the tzvasoi. The Oneg Yontif says if it's hooks on the tzvasoi, you can't use it for something else. So we see from here, the Achronim point out, not like the Oneg Yontif, that yes, the sukkah is hooks from the tzvasoi, but even though it's hooks from the tzvasoi, anything that helps me use the sukkah for my use that I am supposed to use it, that's, and it's not a desecration of the sukkah, is not, there's no problem with hooks from the tzvasoi. That's why I could leave things on top of the schach. It's not a desecration of the sukkah, and that's why I could eat in the sukkah, even though I'm not mechuyev to eat in the sukkah, it's raining, because it's not a desecration in eating in the sukkah, when you're not mechuyev. Now, back to our Gemara. You have the sukkah made with one wall on a tree. My love, what is the situation? The chokle be'ilon, that the walls were formed by a tree. It's not that he carved holes into the tree. Rather, what happened was he carved holes into the tree, and then he put planks into those holes to form a wall. And then he put the schach on top of those planks. Now, if that's the case, the tree is only tzadim. And we still see that tzadim are surim. Because, says the Gemara, whatever the halacha is by an animal should be halacha by a tree. And if we see that the tzadim of a tree are osur, isn't that a proof that the tzadim of an animal are also osur? Says the Gemara, loy. The situation here is the kafiel ilon, where he bent the tree over, and he put the schach on top of the tree. So now it's not stodim, it's kama shamish b'ilin, it's the ilan itself. But stodim may be mutter. If that's the story, that the schach is resting directly on the tree, aim a sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah Masech to Sukkah. It says, Sholosh b'dei Adam, if three walls of the Sukkah are man-made, v'achas b'ilon, and one was formed by a tree, k'sheira, then it's a kosher Sukkah, v'olam b'yantav, and you could use that schach, you could put things on top of that schach. Now ask the Gemara, v'de kafi l'ilon, if it's talking in a case where he bent the tree over, and rested the schach directly on it. Why could you put something on top of that schach? You're being mishtamish b'me'ilon. You're being mishtamish b'me'chubar. Because the schach is still resting on a tree. Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Stodim asurim. That Abaye is going to say that stodim are also asur. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where the schach is resting on a plank which is supported by the tree. So still we have to understand why in the last case that we just mentioned why in the last case of the Mishnah is he allowed to go into the Sukkah on Yontif? It should be Usur, since the fourth wall is supported by a plank which is supported by a tree, which according to Abai is considered being Mishtamish B'Mechubar. Elohasam, the fourth wall, the second case, must be talking about a case that's talking about it was formed Begazna Persichna. It wasn't formed by bending the tree over. There it's talking a case where branches have a lot, where the tree has a lot of branches and can be used as a wall just as it stands. And the schach rested only on the three man-made walls and did not rest on the tree at all. The gil and gufa, in such a situation, the tree itself, it's only a wall, but it's not something in which the schach is resting. Since it's not something in which the schach is resting, I could now put things on that schach because it's not resting on a mechubar. Dekanami, and that, I'll bring you a proof that that's the way to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, the Ketani. It says in the Mishnah, call Zaklal, call Ilan, wherever this case is, Shinotel Ilan, where the tree can be removed. And the schach can stand by itself. Only be yontif. Then you could put things on that schach on yontif. Shema mina. So we see that the last case of the Mishnah, where he's allowed to use the schach, is where the tree is not supporting the schach at all. Lema ketanoi, says the Gemara, let's say this machlokes of Rav and Abai is really machlokes tanoi. It says, ain't only be yontif. one cannot go into such a sukkah on Yontif. You can. I'll say this to the machlokes. The Masover, Tanakama holds that Tzadim are usher, and that's why a schach that's supported even by the Tzadim of a mechuba are usher. A Masover mutarim, and the man Omer that's mekel holds that it's Ramei holds that Tzadim are mutar. Arabai Lois, Abai says no. Everybody will agree that Tzadim are surim. The machlokes here is regarding size of the side. Masover, Tanakama holds that not only tzadim are osur, but even tzadim, sides of the sides are osur. A masover, Ramei is going to hold tzadim mutarim. Rava says no. Man the osur tzadim, the one that holds that tzadim is osur. Osnami but see that stodim. He's gonna hold that even see that stodim is awesome. Man the shar but see that stodim, and the one that holds see that stodim is mutter, shar nami but stodim. And he's gonna say that the machlaikis in the braisa is taka machlaikis. What is the halacha on stodim? Eiser Mishan Shil Rava. So Mishan Shah asked Rava, not Yosid Be'ilin. We spoke before about a tchum on Shabbos, that a person can only walk 2,000 amos from his residence on Shabbos. However, there is something called an eruvet tchumim. If you want to walk 4,000 amos in one direction, what you do is you put 2,000 after 2,000 amos, put your food there. We'll discuss the halachas more soon. And that becomes your place of residence, and you can move 2,000 amos past that eruv. Now you have to have the food accessible that it should be considered a kosher erev tchumim. So if Yosei Be'ilan, if there's a peg in a tree, the Torah kala, and he hung a basket on that peg, that's where he put his erev, l'mal masara tfachim, if the basket is higher than 10 tfachim, ein eruva erev. His erev is not a valid erev. Why? Because he's standing in Rishus Rabbim. The Erev is a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the Erev is not accessible to you, because you can't get from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. However, if it's being hung below 10 Tefachim, then Eruv HaErev, the Erev is an Erev. Now, what do we see here? Tama, the whole reason is the Naat Yosef Be'ilin, because he put a peg in the tree. So since he put a peg in the tree, so the basket is not hanging directly from the tree. Haloi not. But if he wouldn't have put a peg in the tree, afilu lamatim asar tfachim. Even if it was below asar tfachim, ein eruv ha'erev. His erev would not be a valid erev. So we see that there's a difference between tzadim and not tzadim. V'kahaytana, so here we have a tana that prohibits tzadim. The Kesharbet studied Stodim, but he says that studied Stodim a mutter. Now Rava said that there is nobody that differentiates between Stodim and studied Stodim. Yet here, what's the case? It's a case of studied Stodim. You have the peg, is the Stodim, and then you have the basket hanging from the peg, which is studied Stodim. So we see that there is a difference between Stodim and studied Stodim. So the Gemara does not prove. Amra Papa, Hach b'chal kala d'chukas kinim. Here we're dealing with a basket that has a very narrow mass. The b'hadid the shakalei la'erif. So at the time when it's hang, that it will be hung from the tree itself, kamenad la'ilan, he would have to move the tree. Become shtamish b'ilan gufe, then he would be actually using the tree. The Tana therefore required that that the basket not be hung directly from the tree, but rather be suspended from a peg. But Enochanami, under normal circumstances, he will hold there is no difference between the Tzadim and the Tzadit Tzadim. As Tosfos, the Gemara said that if the Erev is below 10 Tefachim, then the Erev is a kosher Erev if we don't have a problem with the tree. But as Tosfos, below 10 tefachim is still a karmelis, and you're not allowed to take from a karmelis to the Rishus HaRabim. So Taisha says, why is it a karmelis? Because of the basket. Ain't karmelis bekeli. A utensil cannot become a karmelis. Another teretz Taisha says, is because when does the Erev become an Erev? Bein HaShmoshes. Bein HaShmoshes, there are no Isurid Rabbonin, because the issue of not taking from a Carmelist to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only us Midrabbanan, and Midrabbanan, there's no Isur Midrabbanan Bein Hashmashas. Ask all the Achrayim and Taisvis if Taisvis is correct, that there is no problem of Drabonans Bein Hashmashas. So what's the problem of the Isur to use a tree is also only Midrabbanan. So why would there be a problem even if the Erev is directly on the tree, that you're taking from the tree and you're not allowed to be Mishtamish Bilan? Being Mishtamish Bilan is only Isur Drabonan, and Taisvis just said that we're not worried about Drabonans Bein Hashmashas. So the Chasam Sofer answers very nicely. He says, if the Erev would be on the tree, and yes, Bein Hashmashas is the point, the time that I'm looking at, it would come out that I'm being over two Drabonans by this Bein Hashmashas. One is the Drabonan of taking from a Carmelis to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the other is the Drabonan of using the tree. Says the Chasam Sofer, that even if we're makel on the Rabbonans by Bein Hashmashas, we'll only be makel on one Drabonan. But to be so makel, to let a person be over two Drabonans, both being Mishtamish Be'ilon, and also carrying from a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that much we won't do. The Hilchsa, the Halach is, Tzdadim Asurim, the sides of a tree, or an animal, or also, Tzdadim Atarim, but the sides of the side are mutar. Amar Vashi, Hashti the Amrit, Tzdadim Asurim, Nana, we said that Tzdadim Asur, Hai Dag the Madlab, the case of a ladder that goes to a watchtower. So these watchtowers are built on top of poles, near palm trees, and you got on top of them by ladders. Lalincha Inshadikla, a person should not lean the ladder on the palm next to the watchtower, to have lit stadim, because the ladder would then have the status of the sides. The ladder would be the side of the tree, and you're not allowed to use the stadim. Elichsia gazoi leva medikla. He should rest the ladder on stakes, on pegs that come out of the palm. In this way, the ladder will be considered a side of the tree, and he'll be able to climb up on it on Shabbos. V'chisalik, also, when he goes up, he should be careful that he should not put his feet on the pegs that are sticking out of the tree, because those are only tzdadim. He should put his foot on the rungs of the ladder, which are merely side of the sides of the tree, which be mutter. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out the act of setting up of a ladder to be used on the stakes would be Asur on Shabbos, because doing that would mean that you're using the sides of the tree, and we're saying that Stadim are Asur. So the only way you could do this is have it set up from before Shabbos. If you have the tree with the stakes, with the pegs sticking out of the tree, and then the ladder next to those pegs before Shabbos, then you can walk up the rungs of the ladder. However, setting it up on Shabbos would mean that you're actually setting something up on the stadim, on the pegs that are sticking out of the tree, and we're learning now that stadim asurim.